Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's great to be together. It's great to open up God's Word and just spend a bit of time having a look at what God has to say to us today. If you're a visitor, a very warm welcome to you. It's great to have you with us if you're tuning in for the first time. And if you're a regular, well, a warm welcome to you as well. It's great to be together again, isn't it? Well, we're going to be turning back to 1 Peter for the second to last time. So 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at verse 6 through to 11 today, and then tomorrow we'll finish off the last section from verse 12 and 13. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 onwards. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love for us. We pray that you would watch over us as we open up your word, that you would feed us with your bread of life. We thank you for Jesus. Would you help us to see him? In whose name we pray. Amen. Well, we remember, as we've been marching our way through 1 Peter, that it's a book written in a context where persecution was not an unknown thing. And we've seen sort of over and over and over again Peter dealing with suffering and how to live in a fallen world, how to live amongst non-Christians, how to focus ourselves upon Christ, how to follow Christ in a fallen world, how to deal with trials and difficulties and temptations and how to keep looking like Jesus in everything we do. Well, Peter's coming to the end of his letter, and he's not going to let up on that same note that he's been hitting over and over again. And that is that note of living rightly in the face of difficulties. And so, in the context of difficulties and challenges and persecutions, Peter writes this last section here. And he says, firstly, that we need humility. So Peter, in response to the persecution that we face, Peter calls us, he calls believers, he calls his readers to humility. Have a look at verse 6 with me, 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So firstly, we're to be humble. Why is it so important for us to be humble? Think about that context of difficulties, persecutions, challenges. It's very easy at times of stress to do foolish things, isn't it? But I think one of the very common things to happen is even if it's a little type of persecution, it's to take the high ground. You know what I mean by taking the high ground? Where you justify yourself, you fight for your position, you fight back against the person who is opposing you. Now, why do you do those things? Why is it that when people challenge us on any level, that something inside of us wants to rile up and attack back? What causes that? It's pride, isn't it? And Peter knows that the only way to ensure that we as believers act rightly in the face of persecution, in the face of difficulties, in the face of trials, is if we are humble. If we stop claiming the high ground, if we stop relying upon ourselves, but instead come to rely upon God. And it's something we've seen throughout the letter, isn't it? That sense of resting and relying upon Christ for everything. Well, here, notice how we are to be humble, or maybe better, why we are to be humble. We're to be humble because God cares for us. Now, this is an interesting word because it's not just cares like we use English, you know, like you care for a child, you do what the child needs. Or maybe better, you care for a dog. When you care for a dog, it doesn't really matter whether you really love the animal or not. You just care for it. You provide its needs. A dog is probably a better analogy than a child. Or maybe better than even a dog, because I really love my dog, is the classroom fish. You know, maybe you've had this as a parent, where the child brings home the classroom pet, and you have to care for it. Well, you care for it, don't you? And you care for it carefully. You work hard to ensure that the pet gets everything it receives. But you're not overly concerned for the pet itself. You're concerned for your child not going back with a dead pet. But you're not really concerned for the pet. Well, that type of care is not what Peter has in mind. Peter has in mind a deep, caring concern for us. Peter's saying that God is deeply concerned for you and I. And so he's saying, you can endure and you can humble yourself in this life as to the one, he says, who may lift you up or who may exalt you. So you've got this picture of the person who's humbling himself, lowering himself or lowering herself down low. And God is picking her up and exalting her, lifting her up because he loves her, because he cares for her, because he's concerned for her. And you see, what that means is you and I don't need to fight our cause. You and I don't need to fight our case. You and I don't need to seek to exalt ourselves because we have a God who cares for us. You have a God who cares for you. And so you can take great comfort and you can humble yourselves knowing that there is a God who's looking out for you. But notice that Peter's not ignorant. He says you need to humble yourself, but he recognizes that we also need to resist. So there's humility in the face of persecution, and there's resistance in the face of persecution. Have a look at verse 8 onwards. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. So keep alert. Keep looking everywhere. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. So, yes, we're humbling ourselves, but then we're fighting. And you said, well, but you just told me not to fight. Who are we fighting? And this is the key. This is the key. He doesn't say resist your persecutors. He doesn't say fight back against the earthly enemy. Fight back against the injustices you're suffering. No, he says resist, firm in the faith, resist the devil. You see, because Peter knows, along with Paul in Ephesians, Peter knows that we fight not against flesh and blood. Who do we fight against? I wonder if you could finish the verse. We fight against principalities. We fight against spiritual evil. We fight against the devil. You see, ultimately, the persecutor in front of you is not your enemy. The person that is harassing you is not your enemy. The devil is. The devil is inciting them against you. the image bearer of God is in the end not your enemy, and who you need to stand firm against is the devil. Being firm in your faith, being alert, being watchful at all times for the devil who seeks to destroy us. Now, the wonderful thing is, he prowls around like a lion, seeking someone to devour. But he doesn't devour them. Do you realize that? He seeks someone to devour, but the devil can't devour you. This is why you need to pay attention. This is why you need to be aware, because he's hunting, but he can't actually devour the children of God. He can make a train wreck of your faith. He can make a train wreck of your joy in God. He can make a train wreck of your relationship with other believers, but he can't devour you. Because if you are in Christ, you are secure and safe. And that's Peter's last point. You see, he says we need to be humble. He says we need to resist the devil. But then he says also we need to stand firm in the grace of God. Have a look at the last couple of verses. Verse 10. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, we can humble ourselves, and we can resist the devil, and we can do so because we have assurance that God is on our side. That's what Peter's saying in verse 10 and 11, isn't he? He's saying, you have God on your side. When trials come, when difficulties come, when you feel like you're about to break, when you're pushed to the very limit of yourself, Peter says, humble yourself, stand firm against the devil. God's grace is enough. After you have suffered a while, the God of all grace. You remember Paul saying, God said to me that his grace is sufficient for me. And Paul saying, in weakness we are strong. You see, the reason we can stand firm, the reason we can pursue holiness, the reason we can pursue Christ, the reason we can endure suffering, the reason we can stand up firm under difficulties and challenges is that God has called us to his eternal glory in Christ. And if he has called us, Peter says, he also will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Now, what doesn't get covered by that? Please tell me, what isn't covered by restore? Take something, restore it. Confirm it to ensure its safety, to ensure its truth, to ensure that the grace of God will do what it's meant to do in your life. Strengthen you and enable you to do everything and establish you in Christ. You see, in Christ you have everything you need to bear up under all situations. You are not lacking anything. You cannot stand before God and say, you didn't give me what I needed. No. God has come to you. He has given you Christ. And he has given you all of his grace so that you have everything you need. Everything you could possibly need. To serve him. To love him. To humble yourself. To resist the devil, and to arrive in glory. And so I guess the challenge for you and I is, are we prepared to do it? Are we humbling ourselves? Are we standing firm against the devil, or are we sort of blowing around in the wind like a tree? Are we leaning upon the grace of God? You see, what it means to lean upon the grace of God, it means to rest in God's favor, not to rest in your own strength, but to rest in the fact that God himself has given you everything you need. Keep running back to God, and he will give you what you need. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Peter and this epistle. Lord, we pray that you would continue to use it to bless us and strengthen us, to confirm us, to establish us, that we might be perfected in Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining me again this afternoon. I trust that you'll have a blessed evening, a blessed afternoon or morning, depending where you're tuning in from. And I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow, same place, same time, for our last daily devotion in 1 Peter. God bless.